Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, registered dietitian, and this week's topic is magnesium, a key player in metabolic health. And we are going to just really talk about the importance of this mineral that a lot of people do lack adequacy in. And you'll quickly understand why that matters. And why you should prioritize the magnesium-rich foods. And although I'm not opposed to supplements when it comes to magnesium, because sometimes it's hard to be consistent with this mineral, and it's so important for so many different processes, so I'm not opposed to using a supplement. I just really encourage people to focus to food first, if at all possible, and then add the supplement. And that will help give you kind of the best well-rounded approach. Because remember, isolating any type of vitamin and mineral creates imbalances with other vitamins and minerals. So now I will say with magnesium, this one is probably the least likely to create as many imbalances because there's so many processes that it is involved in. So out of all the minerals, I would say this one concerns me the least for you to take a supplement. So, and there's so much value in its benefits that sometimes it's worth taking a supplement to ensure that number is hit or that you're getting that benefit. For example, like with sleep, that one is, I use magnesium a lot for sleep. I also use magnesium if somebody's constipated. Just, I use different forms for each of those. So again, it depends on the person, depends on the need, and depends on the product. Because sometimes I can use a blend that has the sleep property and the constipation property. So you're only taking one supplement and benefiting yourself with less pills. So again, I think, you know, magnesium, I feel like with social media, a lot of people are aware of this. So you may not be surprised by the importance of it. But for those who've maybe never thought about magnesium being an issue for them, I would definitely encourage you to listen up and just think through, what do I normally do? And I can talk about some ways to evaluate with blood work and stuff as well. But magnesium is involved in hundreds of metabolic processes. And it's really just a cofactor for numerous enzymes and is really crucial for your brain and your body. It has a very important role for several areas of your health. And it truly can impact your mood, your blood sugar, your heart health. It can impact the way methylation occurs. It can impact bowel regularity. It touches so many body functions that it's really one that you have to stay on top of. So, what is magnesium? And magnesium is really the fourth most abundant mineral in the body after calcium, sodium, and potassium. So, a lot of people think of, you know, sodium and potassium as just electrolytes, but really they are minerals. And all of these minerals are tightly regulated in the blood. And magnesium is also the second most intracellular mineral after potassium. So this is one that you want it to be inside the cell and not outside of the cell. So your bones is really about where most of the magnesium is stored. And the rest you will find in your blood, tissues, and cofactors. So you can kind of see how easy it would be, because that's a bunch of areas that magnesium would be necessary for. But why is it so important? Why do so many people make such a big deal about magnesium? Everybody's magnesium deficient. And although I don't necessarily disagree, I don't 100% agree. I don't think that all of us are. And I think that is something that you can't just say that everybody is. I do check my magnesium at my doctor's office, and you know, my latest one is great. It's right where it should be. It does help kind of give you information when you do a blood test. The most accurate blood test is an RBC, or red blood cell magnesium. That's the most accurate one. And ideally it's in the 6 range, like 6 to 6.1 is more ideal. So when you are asking for a magnesium to be drawn, I would just make sure you're asking for an RBC magnesium so that you get the most accurate level evaluated. But let's dig into, I have 7 different areas of why magnesium is so important. And number one is the human body needs magnesium for many physiological functions. Number two is there's more than 300 enzymatic reactions that require magnesium as a cofactor or an activator. So if these enzymes that are necessary and you are lacking magnesium, then that enzyme is not going to be activated because you don't have that cofactor. So hopefully that makes sense. But number three, it maintains your normal nerve and muscle functions. Number four, it supports a healthy immune system, so it's even involved in your immunity. Number five, it's necessary for strong bones. Number six, and you can think of magnesium for strong bones as it's part of the package. You don't need just calcium. It can't get through into the bones without each other. So you need all of these. Even potassium is necessary for the process of building strong bones. And even additional vitamins and microminerals and things like boron and vitamin C, they play a role in your body's ability to get calcium into the bone so that it is strong and you don't have bone softening or that leads to osteoporosis. So it's a blend of things. It's not one mineral is doing the whole job. It's a combination of minerals working together. And magnesium plays a big role in that bone health. And so again, it gives you again more of a visual to think about when it's being utilized in so many different areas of your body. Number six, it regulates your blood sugar levels. And number seven, it plays a role in protein, fat, and carbohydrate metabolism. So again, making sure that magnesium intake is there, and making sure that you're hitting a good amount and absorbing it well. So what are the health benefits? So now we see it's involved in so many different areas of the body and can impact a plethora of symptoms that could occur. You could be caused by a magnesium deficiency. So what are the health benefits of magnesium? One, it's a helper molecule in many biochemical reactions. So in your body, it participates in over 600 reactions. So think of, you know, I say this many times, our body is like a chemistry experiment going on 24/7, 365, there's so many chemical reactions occurring every second of the day that it's really hard to keep up. So again, if you follow a standard American diet where you really don't eat many home-cooked meals, you dine out for most of your meals, or you're buying a meal in a bag or a box or a container that may not have a whole lot of nutrient-dense nutrition. So it might be lacking in a lot of good quality nutrients. That's when problems arise, for one. That's, again, one example. If you're following a standard American diet, then you are, you know, interfering with these 600 chemical reactions that are occurring naturally. So it's this helper molecule, and it is even involved in the methylation process. So those are methylation. If you remember, methylation is the process that turns genes on and off. And you kind of think about when it comes to genetics. So your genes load the gun, methylation turns off the safety, and then your epigenetics or your diet and your lifestyle pull the trigger. So again, it's part of that piece because magnesium is involved in that methylation process. It is a cofactor in the methylation process. So magnesium creates energy from food. It creates new proteins from amino acids. So if you've had bariatric surgery, you are on top of your protein, or you understand the importance. And this is this reaction that occurs. So when your body takes like a chicken breast that you chew up and you eat, and your body has to digest that into a liquid form. So that is what's happening when you eat food. You're chewing it up. It gets to your stomach, the acids, the enzymes, the pepsin, the hydrochloric acid, everything that your body needs to digest food has begun to arrive in your stomach and in your intestines. And that's where the magic kind of occurs to break the food down. Now, with a bariatric surgery, you have a pouch. And sometimes the food is not liquefied, especially in a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. You are not going to have 100% of the time liquefied food like you would with a sleeve. So the potential for having liquefied food like you're supposed to before it goes into the intestines is more common if you have a sleeve, a gastric sleeve, compared to a Roux-en-Y gastric bypass. Because you don't have that sphincter at the bottom of your stomach with a gastric bypass, you just have a hole. You just have an outlet that goes directly from your esophagus, the flap, the lower esophageal sphincter, or the LES, is at the bottom of your esophagus and the top of your pouch. And then at the bottom of your pouch of a gastric bypass, there is no sphincter. You don't have that flap that's slowly releasing food into your intestines. It is just a hole that you get a constant, drip or, you know, release of food into your small intestines when you're eating it. So the opportunity for it to be in the right form, a liquid form, where it's already broken down and ready to be broken apart into little molecules even further, that is not as likely with a gastric bypass. So that's when, you know, that's why I would say, you know, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is so common with a gastric bypass, because you have whole foods that get into your small intestines and then have the opportunity to ferment and start creating the wrong environment for health and the right environment for disease. and a lot of imbalances. And it allows those gases, those methane and those hydrogen gases to develop and that bacteria level to rise because they're fermenting off of whole foods instead of broken down foods. So that was a big long explanation, but I hope that helps you kind of understand, you know, digesting and why all of this stuff matters when it comes to your overall health. So if you want to get to the form of amino acids where you take a chicken breast and you break it down into amino acids, you know, that should have begun in your stomach and then continues into your small intestines. And then the small intestines is where the magic occurs for the absorption. So you have these, you know, hair-like, you know, villi that line the both sides of your intestines. You have that mucus layer and these amino acids that should be broken down as those protein molecules get broken apart from the digestive process, from, you know, the acids, the pepsin, the proteases, lipases, all of those pancreatic enzymes and bile and everything that does its job to break that piece of meat down. Then it gets broken further into amino acids. And those amino acids then can filter through those villi and get absorbed and, you know, the right types get into the bloodstream and get circulated throughout your body. So then you have energy to do the things you want to do. Okay, so going back to the magnesium and so it also is a cellular creation and repair. So it plays a role in repairing damaged cells and making new cells. It facilitates the contraction and relaxation of muscles. So if I have somebody that's having a lot of Charlie horses or leg cramps, you know, you can think potassium, you can think magnesium, but really magnesium is a great way to support those cramps. And that is a sign that your body isn't getting enough. And maybe it's just what's in the blood. Maybe you've been working out, or maybe you were outside in this awful heat, you know, with the heat index being so high and humid, it's making it easy to sweat when you just walk outside and do nothing. So if you're losing a lot of electrolytes, magnesium is one of those minerals that is tightly regulated in the blood for electrolytes. So again, that can play a role in those muscle cramps. It supports neurotransmitters, which transmit messages throughout the brain and the nervous system. So this is when your nervous system is dysregulated, and it could be because of the lack of magnesium in your diet. Studies report 50% of the population don't get enough magnesium in their diet. So, now let's talk about supporting healthy blood sugar levels. So two studies showed that magnesium supplements enhance insulin sensitivity. And then another study reported 48% of those with type 2 diabetes are deficient in magnesium. So we know that when it comes to blood sugar balance and insulin sensitivity, having adequate magnesium is important. Now, how is it beneficial to heart health? A 2021 study found that magnesium can lower your blood pressure, which is correlated with having a healthy heart when that is in when you have a normal blood pressure. Now, remember, your kidneys kind of regulate your blood pressure, so it's a package deal. So you got to make sure you have good functioning kidneys to help support a healthy heart. Anti-inflammatory properties. A meta-analysis of 11 studies found that magnesium supplementation lowered the CRP, or your C-reactive protein, which is a inflammatory response lab that you can have drawn at any local doctor, as well as the interleukin 6 and other markers of inflammation. But this kind of helps you understand. So say, for example, say you had your CRP drawn and you had your magnesium, the RBC magnesium drawn, and that would give you a good information. So if your CRP is greater than one, so you want it less than one, and if it's greater than one and your RBC magnesium is less than six, then adding more magnesium-rich food and or probably a magnesium supplement would be ideal and a great way to help lower that inflammation. So how much magnesium is typically recommended? So the United States RDA, for females, it's 320 milligrams, and for males, it's 420 milligrams. The European Food Safety Authority, or the EFSA, the females are 300 milligrams, and the males are 350 milligrams. But insufficient magnesium intake is estimated in nearly 56 to 68 of Americans in their diet to meet the RDA. So most people do not even hit these 320 and 420 US RDA guidelines. So again, something so simple, so, you know, a simple mineral that could impact several areas of your health, to me seems like an easy way to really support you without really having to do a whole heck of a lot. So let's talk about the factors associated with magnesium loss. So you also have to think about that. So it's not about just getting enough magnesium in your diet. It's also about not losing too much. And there are a variety of causes that lead to a magnesium deficiency, or what would cause someone to have a magnesium deficiency. One is chronic alcohol abuse. And alcohol is a diuretic, which increases the amount of magnesium excreted in the urine. So anytime you are consistently drinking alcohol, then you just realize that you are also losing magnesium as well. Older adults. So as we age, magnesium absorption decreases. And this is true with a lot of nutrition. A lot of vitamins and minerals and proteins, and they change. Our ability to absorb shifts if you don't support it. And this is where I really like to use digestive enzymes, because it really can help enhance the absorption, which is why I would say out of the products that we offer, our Gastric Health line of supplements, probably my product I'm most proud of, that I truly invested a ton of research into the formula and what I really wanted in it for bariatric patients, because I feel like there's so many areas that could be lacking when it comes to digestion after a gastric bypass or even a sleeve gastrectomy. I would say I'm most proud of my the WLS formulated digestive enzymes. That one is my favorite product. But our Ultimate Gut Restore probiotic is probably our most purchased product. Not probably, it is. So if you have low magnesium levels and you have digestive issues, like you have some bloating, you have some gas, you have maybe a combination of constipation or diarrhea, or you find that it's hard to eat some of those solid dense proteins, I would strongly encourage you to try a bottle of our WLS formulated digestive enzymes, because I'm telling you, you can tell within the first few days of just taking it, because you will notice when you take the right dose, because you only have to take one per meal, and you take it at the beginning of the meal, a few minutes before a meal. You can take it during the meal and you can take it after the meal. So there's no wrong answer there. Think of it as you're supporting all of the organs that are involved in digestion. So there's no wrong answer to this, but it's finding the right dose that your body needs based on the symptoms that you are experiencing. So if you have questions, if you're like, I'm curious to try this, but you have questions, just hit contact us and I'd be happy to answer any questions so that you have the full information that you need on these digestive enzymes and if it's really a good match for you. So again, it's about how well you absorb. And as we age, our ability to absorb nutrients changes and it lowers. So taking digestive enzymes as you get older is actually a great thing and a great way to support a healthy body. Gut health conditions. So this is where you have to think about where your absorption area is. This is where you absorb nutrition, is in your gut. So your small intestines is the hard worker. And the only thing that you really absorb in your stomach is alcohol and aspirin. So other than that, the rest is done in your small intestines. You have a small area right before the you get to the colon called the ileum, and this is an area where it can really make up for maybe some insufficient absorption earlier in the small intestines. So as you travel through the digestive tract, you know, once you get to the ileum, it's kind of like this area where it can uptake nutrients. It's just not going to uptake everything. So if you miss some absorption sites earlier up the intestines, then the ileum area is where you can make that up. It's just, we don't control that. There's no way to really control. Again, it's about having the right environment for absorption. And that's why I feel like, you know, digestive enzymes are super helpful. But then also having a healthy gut, having the right type of gut bacteria and not having gut dysbiosis really does help. Those with celiac disease, so if you have celiac disease and have had a gastric sleeve or gastric bypass, you do have lower magnesium secondary to the loss of the brush border proteins, which really regulate the transport of nutrients into the bloodstream from the digestive tract. So that doesn't mean that just having it means you have low magnesium. You want to test, get that RBC magnesium blood test done to know for sure, and evaluate the need for it. Because if you have, been gluten-free, wheat-free for a long time, and those villi and that those brush border proteins are super healthy, all of that is functioning correctly, then you may not need it, because you can heal all of that after a celiac diagnosis. All of that stuff can get healthier and improve. So other gut conditions are those with malabsorptive issues like inflammatory bowel disease, gastric bypass. So you already have malabsorption. So gastric bypass is a malabsorptive procedure. We are bypassing the absorption site of nutrients, certain nutrients. You skip right by them. So your saving grace is your ileum, is your catch-all, is where you catch up in absorbing some of those nutrients. It's just, again, like I said, you can't control it. And you don't get to pick. If you're lacking in iron, that doesn't guarantee that just because you're lacking in iron means that your body's going to absorb the iron that got missed earlier up because we bypassed that area. It just, you don't have the control. You want to create that environment, get a healthy gut, have healthy digestion so that you can maximize and optimize that ability to absorb. It can also influence motility and gut barrier integrity. So all of those are super important to your overall gut health. Type 2 diabetes, high blood sugar can increase urination. Which that's usually one of the first signs that people will experience when their blood sugar is elevated. They're going to the bathroom a lot more frequently. Again, which leads to more magnesium losses because you're frequently urinating. And also metformin, which is used for, you know, insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. But metformin has been associated with increased magnesium losses. So if you do take, you know, metformin, it also depletes B12 absorption. So again, it's not, I'm not against metformin. I'm not against using berberine in its place because it pretty much acts the same. I think you got to do what works best for you, but you need to be aware of this. So if it decreases B12 absorption and decreases magnesium absorption, that's going to matter. So that means you need to pay attention to those types of foods or be on some type of supplement to replace it. Intense exercise. So sweating increases magnesium losses and increases the metabolic demand, or that demand for more magnesium is there because you're working out and you're using your muscles. Stress, unfortunately, stress is always involved in something in a negative way a lot of times. But stress increases cortisol, which can lead to an increase in the excretion of magnesium. So even somebody doing some caffeinated beverages can increase your cortisol level, which again leads to more urinary excretion. Sleep deprivation. A lack of sleep can disrupt magnesium homeostasis. Then we got to talk about medications. So not only the metformin, but there are also PPIs and antacids. They also block the absorption. Diuretics, prednisone, and certain antibiotics all interfere with magnesium absorption. Oh, and then lastly, insulin. That also, if you're taking actual insulin for diabetes, that can lower the absorption of magnesium. So what are the signs and symptoms of magnesium deficiency? Now, I'm going to preface this with saying probably all of us could say we've experienced these symptoms, and you could easily say maybe I'm low in magnesium. But pair this information with some lab data. Pair this with a conversation with your health professional to really vet it out. But I'm going to tell you there's really not a lot of harm in really pushing those magnesium-rich foods, which I'll get to in a minute. But even adding a magnesium supplement, for me personally, I use different formulas or different types of magnesium for different things. So I'm not really going to get into the details of which form for what. But in general, work with a practitioner that can get you the right type of magnesium so that you can make sure you're taking the right type of supplement. So the early signs are fatigue, nausea, weakness, vomiting, and loss of appetite. Moderate is tingling, seizures, numbness, abnormal heart rhythms, personality changes, cramping, and contractions of the muscles. And severe is you're going to also have low blood potassium and low sodium. So both of those are, in addition, going to be, so your electrolytes are going to be off balance for sure with severe. So, and I have had patients, so somebody that has excessive chronic diarrhea, like they are having 30 plus bowel movements a day, magnesium definitely could cause magnesium deficiency would not be out of the picture. So, you know, adding some type of magnesium to help support that stabilization of all of your electrolytes is helpful. So making sure that you are taking some type of magnesium, if you're having lots of diarrhea in the course of a day or chronically, this is a problem, you're having several bowel movements, that depletes that magnesium level. So what about magnesium and health conditions? Magnesium has connections in Alzheimer's, insulin resistance, asthma, ADHD, hypertension, migraines, and osteoporosis. So I've already mentioned some of the others, but I wanted to make sure I covered the whole gamut of all of the health conditions so we don't miss that. Magnesium and electrolyte balance. When magnesium levels dip, that delicate, tightly regulated blood level of electrolytes can be disrupted. So this can lead to irregular heartbeats, muscle cramps, and other complications. So if you're noticing that, you know, maybe I have heart palpitations or my heart is racing at times, it seems odd, or you're starting to get Charlie horses or cramps, you really got to think about your magnesium and the balance of that electrolytes. So your sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium, all of those work together in your blood. And even like, so calcium, I'm just going to throw this in there because we've had this before with bariatric patients. They have where their hands kind of just start curving in and tightening up. And that is a sign of even like a depleted calcium level. So, but calcium and magnesium work together. So it's the whole package, probably the sodium, the potassium, the calcium, the magnesium, they're probably all off to some degree that's creating that muscle to cramp and curve in their hands or feet, either one of those, which is really you're exceeding into the extreme, which is really getting into some disease states that is created. So osteoporosis and magnesium. So a meta-analysis showed that high magnesium intake increased bone mineral density in the hip and femur, both of which are susceptible to fractures. So those are places that are, I don't want to say common for fractures, but if people get fractures, you know, as we age, when osteoporosis is kind of a problem, then having adequate magnesium intake is a great way to protect yourself. So just making sure that you stay on top of that is good. So let's talk about magnesium-rich foods. So almonds, a handful of almonds gives you about 80 milligrams of magnesium. So remember, if you think through where we talked about the USRDA is 320 milligrams for females and 420 for males is what you're trying to accomplish, because we don't even hit that consistently. Most humans are saying in the US do not hit that. More than half of us. So almonds, a handful of almonds is about 80 milligrams of potassium. Bananas, a banana has about 32 milligrams of magnesium. Brazil nuts, I think it's like 8 Brazil nuts have 64 milligrams along with some selenium, which is great for your thyroid. Next, brown rice. Brown rice offers 86 milligrams of magnesium. So instead of using, you know, just your standard white rice, choose the brown rice so that you get some benefit of the magnesium. Cashew nuts. Cashews provide, I think it's 1 ounce, provides 74 milligrams of magnesium. Mackerel. So this one I know a lot of people probably aren't going to be a fan of, but mackerel are the canned fish, kind of like sardines, but you can get them skinless and where you don't have to have it with the skin, although that's very beneficial for your health. But the fatty fish offers not only omega-3 fatty acids, but also about 97 milligrams of magnesium. And if you get them where it has the skin and it hasn't been altered in a big way, then you're also going to get a good amount of calcium as well. Garbanzo beans is the next one. And chickpeas are rich in magnesium, offering about 78 milligrams per cup. And then lima beans is another one, and they have about 81 milligrams per cup. And then oat bran cereal gives you about 96 per cup. And then spinach. Spinach has about 157 milligrams of magnesium per cup. So you could think through, okay, how can I get more of these foods in my diet? You know, you could easily, you know, even using like almond butter on or a cashew butter on a banana, or having brown rice with some, you know, sauteed veggies with some mackerel on the side, or making a chickpea hummus, and then even just doing like a spinach salad or adding spinach to a smoothie or adding it in with your eggs. Finding ways to sneak all of this stuff in is how you're going to optimize your magnesium intake. So let's wrap this up. Magnesium's role in metabolic health extends far beyond its reputation as really just supporting bone health. It's involved in energy production, insulin sensitivity, protein synthesis, stress modulation, and magnesium plays a key role in several metabolic processes. So making sure you have a diet that is rich in magnesium foods, as well as adding a supplement if you need to, can really help support a healthy metabolism and keeping your body functioning well. So hopefully you'll have a new favorite mineral that you can prioritize and really start incorporating some of these foods that can support you in many ways. Again, I say this, I know, frequently, but by doing food first, you're getting that blend of nutrients. So it's not that you're just getting magnesium. When you're having a food, you're getting vitamin A, vitamin C, magnesium, calcium, potassium. You're getting a whole mix of all of that. So the best way to approach it is optimize the food piece, and then maybe if you don't have good enough absorption of magnesium, or your gut health really isn't that healthy and you've got to do some work on it, maybe add a supplement too, a magnesium supplement too, so that you keep that at optimal levels. But again, I would highly encourage you to get your RBC magnesium tested before you add a crazy ton amount of supplements, to really understand that first is honestly ideal. But if you have enough of the symptoms, I don't think there's really any harm with taking magnesium supplements. But again, not all magnesium supplements over the counter are equal, and the type of magnesium matters for optimal absorption. So that's where I'd reach out to your healthcare practitioner. I'd love to work with you if you need support in that area, and be happy to help you with that. So I hope this has helped you kind of get a new perspective of magnesium and maybe prioritize it a little more than maybe you have in the past. So it will give you the ability to hit your health goals faster. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.